Hebrews chapter 2, the title of the lesson, the message, take heed to what you have heard. Give great attention, much thought to what you have heard. Chapter 2 starts out with looking back at chapter 1, or considering, rather, what was written in chapter 1, because it says, therefore, because of what was written. And the things that were written concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the final spokesman, that He is the brightness of His Father's glory. Our Lord said in one place, He that has seen me has seen the Father. He's the express image of His person. And that by Himself, He has purged us from our sins. And He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty, the High, the high throne of God, as we just sang, the High King of Heaven, which He is. He is seated there at the right hand. I like that, the way that's written. The right hand of majesty. Your majesty. We have forgotten what that means, haven't we? We have forgotten what it is to have a king, and we say, your majesty. But He is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And He is better, much better, really no comparison between the Lord Jesus Christ and angels. He's their creator. And He hath by inheritance, that is, by virtue of who He is, obtained a more excellent name than they. He is the creator of all things. And He's the one who changes not. All that you and I see would be changed. He will fold them up, but His years shall not fail. He remains the same. Now, after laying that foundation, the writer says, we, and he includes himself. You know, one of the most important things that I believe any, especially young preacher, can learn, but anyone who preaches, is to never preach down to the people, because it's we. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Our Lord said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, take heed how ye hear. In Mark, He says, take heed what you hear, which He has the same meaning. Someone wrote this, and this is I thought this was good. The more a man thinks on what he hears, the more he will understand. The less a man thinks on what he hears, the less he will understand. Take heed how you hear. And He says here, take heed. Take heed now. Give great attention. Great thought. You know, let's not just come here and hear for 30 minutes and hear what the Word preached and then leave and forget it. And start thinking about, what am I going to do tomorrow? You know, I've got this going on. Let's learn. And I'm speaking to myself, because I sit in the study, and sometimes I'll be reading, and I may go 2 pages or so, and I don't even know what I read. You've done that. You're reading, and all of a sudden you're like, what did I just read? And then I'll go back to the beginning and try to pay attention. And then give some thought after I leave the study of what I've read. And when we come to this place, or any place, you go to a Bible conference, let's give some serious thought to what we have heard. And you'll see why as we go along here. Give great attention to it, to what we have heard. What have we heard? The truth. The truth. We've not heard a lie. We've heard the truth. That's what we've heard. And we've heard the truth, listen, not from an angel, and not just from a prophet, even though Christ is that prophet, he is the prophet of prophets. But we have heard the truth from God in the flesh. That's who we've heard the truth from. And we've heard the truth about God. No man knows the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He's revealed the Father to us. We know who he is. We know what he's like. We are not left to our imaginations as to who God is. We know who he is. The Lord Jesus Christ has made him known. We've heard the truth about Jesus Christ. We know who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God. Like that eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that? I believe he is. I believe Jesus Christ is very real. I think he's a very real person, and he's God. That's who Jesus Christ is. We've heard that. God came and gave that to us. If you hear the truth, even tonight, even though God may use me, you're hearing from God. God is speaking through his word and through his servant. You're hearing from God. Until we heard the truth, we lived a lie. Our thoughts of God were wrong. Whatever thoughts I had of God before I heard the gospel, before I heard the truth, my thoughts of God were wrong. Because my thoughts of God were according to my imagination of God. We lived a lie. We have heard God speak, and not just a mere man or an angel, but God came into this world. This ought to astound us. We should never get over this. That God Almighty came into this world and took upon him flesh and preached the gospel to us. God, who is spirit, became flesh. And we looked at this last Sunday when Christ began to preach. Christ the preacher. We can say it this way, God the preacher. God preached to us in the person of his Son. And the reason that we are to give the more earnest heed is because the subject matter, our salvation, the salvation of our souls. You know, there's going to come a time when each one of us is going to lay down for the last time to die. And brethren, there will be nothing more precious than the salvation of our souls. That I have peace with God. That I have peace with God. That we understand how that God can be God and save me. That he can remain God. That he can remain holy. He can remain just and save me. Now he says here, lest at any time we should let them slip. There is a real danger here, or the Holy Spirit would not have had this written. There is a real danger of letting this slip. What we have heard, what we have learned, what we've been taught in the gospel. There is a real danger of it, of us letting it slip, letting it go. The word slip means to drift away. That's what this word means. It means to drift away. It means to slide away smoothly, almost imperceptible. You don't even realize it's happening. You know, it takes effort. It takes effort to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes effort. Strive to enter in. That's what it says. Strive to enter in. Labor to rest. With much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom of God. But now listen, it takes no effort to drift away. I went on a float trip. It's been years ago. Me and several of the guys that we attended church together. And we took about eight or nine or ten of us. And we took a 7-mile float trip. We got in canoes. And we got into the river. And all we did was just guide and fish. We was fishing, but it was effortless. We just went with the flow of the river. And we just drifted for 7 miles. We just kind of guided the boat a little bit, and that was it. It's that to float or to drift away is effortless. It's effortless. He says here, lest at any time, there's never a time when we can let down and coast on in. There's never a time. Paul said this, let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's lifelong. That's all your life. All your life now. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's nothing more dangerous to a believer than presumption. Presumption. Paul said that he never counted himself to have arrived. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Excuse me. Now this is the Apostle Paul speaking here. Philippians 3, look in verse 9. See, 9. Let me start with verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him. Paul, don't you know Him? Paul knew Christ. But Paul is saying, I want to know Him more and more and more. Because to know Him is to know God. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now listen, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. And you know, I think Paul could have said, I follow hard after. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Well, here's an example for us. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul did not doubt his salvation. That's not what he's saying. Paul did not doubt his salvation in Christ, but he never took it for granted. It's too serious a matter too serious a matter. One of the ways that we can let this slip is by not giving attention to it, by letting it just go, you know, through one ear, the old saying, through one ear and out the other. But here's, now I want you to get this. Here is a way that it's going to, here's the way it usually happens. Careless listening. Careless listening. Not really giving attention to what you're reading or what you're hearing. That's how it slips away. That's how we can let it slip away. Careless listening, careless attention, the cares of this world, like that stony ground hearer. Remember the parable of the sower? Riches choked it. Cares of this life choked it. And it brought no fruit to perfection. Careless. Careless. Note the seriousness of it here. If we let these things slip away, and he's given this to us, that we would note the seriousness of what's going on right here, right now. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression, every breach of the law, every transgression and disobedience. And I tell you what, careless listening will bring disobedience every time, sooner or later. And disobedience, let me read it again. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. I mentioned to you, I think, in a sermon some weeks ago, that the law of the Sabbath, when it was given, that there was a man that went out and picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. And I believe Moses said, he prayed and asked the Lord what to do about this. And the Lord said, kill him. Kill him. For picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. If the word spoken by angels, the law was given on Mount Sinai through the mediation of angels to Moses. It was given to Moses. And under that law, every transgression received, it says, a just payment. A just payment. And it was steadfast. It was firmly fixed in place. It was unchangeable. No matter who. Was it Uzzah? I believe it was Uzzah who reached up to steady the ark. Was it Uzzah? God said nobody's to touch that ark but those priests. And the ark, and when the oxen stumbled, the ark started to tilt, and he reached up to steady it. He meant good. He didn't want that ark to fall. But God said, don't touch that ark. Don't do it. That's for the priest. Only the priest. And God killed him. God killed him. Every transgression received a just now. You say, well, that seems hard. Well, that might seem hard to me and you, but with God, it was a just recompense. God never gives more than deserved. Never. When someone broke the law, they got exactly what they deserved. Now, this being so, how much sore punishment? Here's the point. If every transgression received a just recompense under the law that was given, it says, by angels to Moses, what you and I have is truth given by Christ, who is God in the flesh. He came here and gave us the gospel. He's the last spokesman. So how much sore punishment shall he be thought worthy of who neglects the gospel? Which was spoken by the Lord Himself. How shall we escape if we neglect so great? So great. See, they had it in types and pictures, but brethren, we have it in a full-blown reality. We have the truth, the gospel, in full-blown reality. They got it bit by bit, piece by piece, a picture here, a type there. We have the full, we have the Word of God in our laps. And here's what he's saying. How much sorer punishment, how much worse punishment shall he be thought worthy who neglects the gospel? Oh, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So great. You know, this how shall we escape implies that there's a need to escape. But what are we to escape? What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about escaping the condemning power of sin, the power of Satan, and God's wrath against sin. When we hear the gospel and we hear of God in the person of His Son coming into this world, dying for sinners, being buried and raised again for their justification, and we neglect that, we let that pass on by, we just kind of lose interest. That's a good lose interest. There's danger in that, and it can happen. That's why he's giving such a warning. How shall we escape? Scripture says, "The soul that sinneth shall surely die." But there is salvation in Jesus Christ through His blood and His righteousness. But if I ignore that, if I let that just drift by me, he's saying this: God's going to hold you accountable, and the punishment is going to be worse than any of the punishment in the Old Testament. Anything that happened to them. Now he says here, if we neglect it. What does it mean to neglect it? It means to be unattended to through carelessness. Unattended to through carelessness. And this happens so easy. It happens so easy because it happens even while sitting under the gospel. I think an example of this, we can live in the same house and neglect one another. Parents can neglect their kids. Husbands can neglect their wives. Wives neglect their husbands, living under the same roof. Well, he says, don't neglect it. Don't neglect what you're hearing. Give serious thought to it. You know, earnest attention is hard to give on a regular basis, isn't it? Because of the sins of this flesh, it's hard to concentrate and listen and meditate. David spoke often of meditating upon the Word of God. It takes effort to do that. It takes effort to think upon the Lord and to consider these things. There's so many things to take our attention. That's why Paul said to the Philippians in his writings to them, "Set your affection on things above where Christ sits at God's right hand and not on the things of this earth." Set your heart, your mind on Jesus Christ. You know, one day, and it's not that long for all of us, one day, all who believe, faith is going to give way to sight. One day I'm going to see Jesus Christ face to face. I want to give attention to that now. You know, I think one of the greatest, and I've thought about this, I don't know how to really put it into words, but I would love to be able in this life to know Christ and to be so intimately acquainted with Him that when I see Him, there'll be no surprises. It'll be just like I thought. Just like I knew Him to be. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To know Him that well, that when you see Him, you're not surprised. Because you've known Him that well all along. Now let's consider what we are to give earnest heed to. He says here, so great a salvation. Salvation, the Scripture says, is of the Lord. If God has saved you, God has saved you on purpose. You didn't just show up and the gospel was preached and you just decided to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. God saved you on purpose. Scripture says the seeing eye and the hearing ear is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. It is a salvation from the guilt of sin. And if you know what sin is, then you know how great salvation is. If you don't know what sin really is, if sin's really not been, doesn't bother you that much, really bother you at all, then salvation's not very great to you either. It's not great to you at all. If your sins are great, salvation is great. And God is great. And God's grace is great. It's a salvation from the guilt of sin. It's a salvation from the reigning power of sin. I often pray. I pray, it's probably every day, I pray, Lord, let not sin, my sin, reign over me. I pray it every day. Let not sin have dominion over me. Because I got plenty of it. I got plenty of it. And I pray often, let not sin reign not over me or reign in me. Help me to overcome. And I pray this as daily. Help me to overcome indwelling sin. Because that is my problem. And I need a great God and I need a great salvation for that to happen. I need it for that to happen. And then it's great because in Christ we are accepted of God. We are accepted of God. And then it's great because the Lord of glory spoke it to us. He spoke it to us. Did you hear? We sing the song. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. All my sins are gone. Not until the Lord came and preached the gospel did the mystery that had been hid from ages and from generations become clear to us. I understand the gospel. Do you understand the gospel? I understand the gospel. God gave that to me. God revealed that to me. Peter, flesh and blood, did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, hath revealed it to you. Not only did the Lord preach the gospel, but He sent men out whom He taught to preach. And it says that He confirmed their message. He certified their message by signs and wonders. In verse 4, and I close. God also bearing them witness, because they didn't have the complete written word of God that you and I have. We don't need miracles. We don't need signs. We have the Word of God, the complete, full Word of God. We don't need, I don't want a miracle. I don't want to see a miracle. I want to be one. I want to be a miracle. But I don't want to see. I mean, I'm not looking for a sign or a miracle. You know, when you're younger, especially in the faith, you're looking for something, some kind of sign, some kind of, because you want to feel saved. I want to feel saved. But I've learned as I've grown older, I have God's word on it. I have God. If God deny His word, He'd have to deny Himself. Lord, you said in your word, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, I come. I come to thee. I come to you, Lord. Save my soul. Have mercy on me. I don't want a sign, or I don't want to see a sign. And I don't want to see a miracle. I want God to take His word right here and put it in my heart. Put your word in my heart. If my words, He said, abide in you. Here's the word of warning. Let me say it again. Well, let me just read it to you again. I don't need to say it. Let me read it. Verse chapter 2, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed, the more serious heed, or heed, really in the Greek it's heed more abundantly, that's what it means. In the Greek it's heed more abundantly. Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, to the gospel we've heard, lest at any time we let it drift away, or drift past us is what the meaning is. Drift past us. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in the giving of the law to Moses, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape God's wrath if we neglect so great a salvation, so great, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and then by the disciples, and now 2,000 years later, here I stand. Here I stand preaching it. Take heed to it, brothers. Let us take heed to the things which we have heard. Go home, sit down, and think about it. All right, Greg.